I like the example of the tabernacle and this whole truth when we notice the altar inside the tabernacle. And we've preached on that many times, how the altar there is where they sacrificed the animals for the atonement of man's sin back there. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, we are a living sacrifice unto God. But we need to get up there, and in a sense, you lay down there and die spiritually for Christ. You give yourself completely to Him. You yield yourself to God. And you get up there on that altar and you die. But I want to tell you this morning, that's not all the furniture in the tabernacle. That's not the only item in the tabernacle. It's an altar to be burned up on and to die on. While it is a necessary piece of the tabernacle that needs to be a personal experience in every one of our lives, that's not all that was in there. There was a laver in there where there was a constant washing took place every time the priest went by. There was a place to stand before the holy place where the priest got anointed with oil. There was a showbread in there that a person would eat, Christ the bread of life. There was a candlestick in there where a person would be illuminated by that light. There are many other types in the tabernacle besides an altar. I only say that to complete the doctrine that I'm talking to you about. Death is not the end of the road. Death is not where you stop. But you go on and get the resurrection and be regenerated and come up with some power to live a different life, with some power to walk in newness of life. Maybe this gets old to you, but I'll tell you, it's so foundational to all of our ability to live in Christ Jesus that it should never get old. Over in Acts chapter 4, when they were quickened by this Spirit and made alive by it, I just want you to see this. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. And he preached to them the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Down in verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Where did the change come from? Peter was such a flip-flop Christian before he got the Holy Ghost that a lot of people, and I see people do this all the time, they use him and they use him continually. In fact, they wear him out on his failures to prove the failures of you and I in this life. And it's not right. They do it before he got the Holy Ghost. In a full measure. I'm not saying he didn't have any back there, but I know one thing. He wasn't regenerated by the power of the same power that brought up Christ from the grave and made him alive. He wasn't regenerated by that before Pentecost. And I'm tired of wearing him out in the Gospels and his failures and his denyings and his walking afar off and his sinkings in the water because he didn't believe and all of that to try to justify sin within your life and mine. I don't want to do it. I don't think it's right. Rather, I want you to get a glimpse of what happened to dear old Peter, brother Peter, when he got the Holy Ghost and he got this death and resurrection experience in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, he come up out of there and he was a changed man. I can't read that he followed afar off after that, even though he might have made a few little mistakes here and there that are recorded in the Scripture, but he come up out of there with power and with authority and with a changed life, and he was bold, and he preached the gospel to the Jews, and he preached it to the Gentiles, and I don't find that he was flip-flopping anymore. And if he didn't, he was a mortal man. He wasn't a God-man. He wasn't some holy saint that's holier than everybody else. He didn't have access to a power nobody else has to. He was a man like you and I, of like passions. And the Bible changed him, and it can change you too if you just get a hold of what he got. Verse 29. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that they with boldness, that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That was Peter. That's how it affected him. Verse 31. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them of the aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Who gave them the power to do that? The same thing, the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I'll tell you, this is a cure for the do-nothings that are sitting whole church houses full of them that can't get anything done for the God of heaven. They can't witness, they can't open their mouth, they can't give their money to the poor, Brother Rob. They can't serve God, and there are churches and whole denominations full of people like this. They are a powerless people. Why are they powerless? Simply because they have never experienced the regeneration effect of the cross of Christ in their life to make them alive for God and to give them some oomph to do something for God, for the lack of a better word. I said this before. Some of you have not heard it, but Easter morning in Russia, Sunday morning in Russia is also marked in red. And the name in Russia is Voskresenia. The word for Sunday, our Sunday, which is a weak word, Sunday, doesn't mean very much, does it? But in Russian, it's a lot better. In that great communist country, well, it's not so much communist, maybe it used to be, but I believe it's still communist. But in that red atheistic country, they call Sunday Voskresenia. What does it mean? Resurrection Day. Resurrection Day is Sunday to them. And what do they mean? That's the day Jesus Christ resurrected. And I believe that was the design of the God of heaven to give them such a simple word for their Sunday, knowing that they'd be an atheistic country, that the whole country would be reminded of this powerful resurrection every Sunday morning, even though they had no churches. Isn't that a blessing? And that's what we all need in our lives. We need Voskresenia in our lives. Resurrection. Auferstehungstag. That's what we need in our lives. But I believe that if you will study men through the ages, men of God through the ages, and we do a lot of that here, we love the biographies of men of God, we talk about the Anabaptists, we talk about the early church around here, we talk about Hudson Taylor, we talk about great evangelists that gave their lives and burned out their lives for the gospel, we talk about Count Zinzendorf, we talk about Felix Munz and Conrad Grebel and George Blaurock. We talk about Menno Simons. We talk about John Wesley. And we talk about great revivalists in the United States of America in our past 200 and some odd year history of a nation. But I'll tell you, you trace those biographies, you look them over real good, and I think everyone who was ever worth any salt in his Christian life, it was the fact that he got a hold of the other side of the cross, of the resurrection side of the cross, that empowered him to do something for God. I think you can hunt and search and look, and I don't believe you'll find a man who was sitting over there in Zurich, Switzerland, somewhere in his house, declaring how nothing he was, and how insignificant, and how ridiculous it was for him to try to do anything for God. And there he sat, and he was waiting all his lifetime for the God of heaven to make a move that he was supposed to move. I don't believe you'll find any biographies, interesting biographies of those men. I don't think so. They looked at the death, and they applied it to their life, and they died to their own carnal will and even their desire to live. They died to that one too. You know, that's one thing we're still struggling with. But they even died to that one. They died to the desires of a family. They died to the desires of a business. They died to the desires of success. They died to the desires of long life. But when they resurrected from the other side of that death, I'll tell you, they had one. And we will too. If we resurrect, if we die to it that explicit, that clear, and we lay everything, even carnal life or even physical life in the enjoyment of family and friends and posterity and all those things, and we lay that all down, you'll have a resurrection like others that don't do that won't have. They won't know what you're talking about. I believe that. Biographies bear that out too. All right, let's go back to Romans 6 and look a little bit on three simple points and how to get it. Back to Romans chapter 6. I think this is more simple than what we often display or often it is made to be. But there are three words that I would like for you to see in this chapter that have been a key to me, I would say, probably most of my Christian life, because I heard them very early in my Christian life, very quickly after my conversion. Romans 6 came to be my most favorite chapter in the Bible, and it still, I believe, is. And I'd just like to share with you what the Lord has blessed me with. They are in verse 6 and verse 9, the word knowing. Knowing. First word of the verse in both verses. Verse 11, reckon. And the verse 13 and 19, yield. Knowing, reckoning, and yielding. Now the first word, knowing. If you are going to deal and be able to comprehend how to deal with the sin problem and the nature problem in your life, there are some things you need to know. Now, this doesn't come from the seminaries of the learning institutions of America. And never, hardly ever, will you find the truth of these three words coming out of there. In fact, you will not find it among the wise. You will not find it among the elite societies of America. You will find a more complicated and more difficult way to get saved out of them. If you want to get a hold of this, there are some things you need to know, but you can sit down and learn them on your chair in your living room or in your study or in your barn or basement or wherever you're going to go and open the Word of God and come to grips with some of these truths that you just simply accept by faith. That's what you need to know. What are they? What do you need to know? That Jesus died and shed His blood for the remissions of sins in your life and that He resurrected for your power. To give you power, resurrected, to have you resurrected and walk in newness of life. That's very simple. But there are, you must know that truth. And every individual in the face of the earth that tries to get Christian life and tries to get success and victory over sin and all those things that are a blessing to the Christian church must get them by knowing these. There's no other way. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than this precious name of Jesus and His plan of salvation. That's the only way. You don't get it by Buddha. You don't get it by Muhammad. You don't get it by Hare Krishna. You get it by Jesus Christ. You know, some people rejoice in the fact that the Iraqis are saying, well, they're looking to a higher power. Yes, they are looking to a higher power, but I'll tell you what, it's demonic powers. Not God of heaven. Not Jesus Christ as a sin offering for your sins. They don't believe in Him. So the higher powers they look to are actually demonic powers and makes it worse than if they'd have none. And that's the way it is with a lot of people today who aren't looking at the right source for their power. It only gives them an antidote for true Christianity or a counterfeit, may I say, for true Christianity. All right, there are some things you have to know. And the Bible here says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Now there we have it again. You have to know that Jesus died on the cross and that our old man is crucified with Him. Why? That the body of sin that is in me is destroyed. It's the only way I know to do it is to know that fact. Look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. I'd like to say a word here for those who maybe try to go back and lay the foundation of repentance and their new birth over and over and over again. It seems to me, I wanted to say this the other time, but I didn't have verse 9 in it, so I didn't get the whole picture here. But it seems like we need a major death in by faith once and then a reckoning dead from there on unto God. Rather than things don't go right, then we try to get born again. And when things don't go right again and we get veered off the road and we go the wrong way for a little bit and then we want to get born again again. Now, I know if sin has truly taken over in your life, I'm not going to throw all of that out, and I don't mean to, but I believe that's the pattern that God wants. That's the example He gives. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him, and that's what in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God, and that should be our main pattern too. So there are some of these things, and it's simple truth that the old man is crucified, that the body or nature of sin within is destroyed. That is an experience you have to know about in order to get it. And the next one is reckon in verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I say, that's how, where the faith comes in. The only way that I can reckon my body to die with Christ is to do it by faith. We reckon it just as though it happened. We take it that clearly, personal in our life. We reckon it dead. And then I'll tell you, here's another way to work with it in your day-by-day battles. If the temptation comes to step back in the old life, I encourage you to say, oh no, I died to that. No way I can go to that fair. No way I can go to that drinking house. No way I can go to the party. I died to all that. That is literally, I believe, reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. No, I can't do that anymore. That would resurrect something in me that's been dead. Some of you who have been alcoholics, you know what would happen to you if you'd sit in a bar for 2 hours some night. You'd probably find out that some old things would resurrect in you that have been dead a long time. And I believe the only way to reckon them dead is to continue saying, no, I can't go that far. I'm dead to that. I'm alive unto God, and I can't go to those places anymore. And I believe that you and I should look at it that clearly in our lives, that we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. And not stop there, but we reckon ourselves to be regenerated and made alive through Jesus Christ. Don't just reckon ourselves dead and don't through our life. But there's a reckoning to do and to have power from God too by faith. It's dead to sin but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckoning, I just think, simply means to reckon it to be so, to count it as done. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. I am planted with Him. I die with Him on the cross. I consider it done in my life. That's reckoning. And then we have this precious word, yielding. And here's where many, many Christians make the big mistake, too. They can follow me so far, but there's one thing they have to do. They have to come to this third point. If they don't, they'll be on a merry-go-round with sin and with their old nature coming back. They'll be on a merry-go-round. Because I don't believe, neither do I teach, eradication of the old man, that he is so dead and so completely eradicated that there is no possibility nor tendency for ever an old nature to come back again. I believe he can come back. And I believe, Father, that he will come back, and he will come back speedily, unless you face this verse. Let's look at it. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God and those that are alive from the dead as your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then verse 19, likewise. I speak after the manner of men. Excuse me. Because of the infirmity of your flesh, as ye have yielded your members, yes, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now there's the requirement for that verse, and I want you to get this. This is very, very important. There are too many people who try to take their members and lay them on a shelf and render them inactive for the devil. You know what I'm talking about? Staying home doing nothing because you can't go anywhere anymore because you're a Christian. And you lay your members on the shelf trying to render them dead, trying to render them active, inactive, and there they lay. But they smolder many times, or in other words, they're there, and it's extremely difficult to keep them there in a do-nothing state, because man is an active human being, and it doesn't seem to work. It gets dull. It gets dry. They don't like it. They just sit there and they're drying up. They say, I got to do something, so I might as well go out and do something. But unless that we take the members of our body, the eye member, the hearing member, the hand member, the feet member, the tongue member, and all of such members, and undividedly yield themselves to God, we're going to be in for a temptation and trouble that we didn't bargain for. And that's what a lot of Christians do. They try to quit, but just quit and just stop. And then they dry up and they get temptations come like fire in their life. But if they yield those members unto God, and they lay them out for God, and they go visiting, and they go singing, and they go to church, and they go to testify, and they begin to use every one of those members, their feet take them places, their hands explain, and they do all kinds of good deeds with their hands, and they make themselves active in that kind of capacity, I don't think it's going to work. I've heard a lot of people who have been delivered from a deep pit of sin tell me this. I can't live a halfway Christian life. There's some here sitting here just like that. I praise God for you. I can't do this thing halfway. If I do it halfway, I'd give up. I wouldn't have enough of I wouldn't be able to make it through. The evil that I've been in has such a grip on me and such a tendency to fill my mind and come back and for me to think about it that it doesn't work for me to go halfway. In other words, I must totally fill my mind, heart, body, soul, and strength with good and with the works of God, or that old stuff comes back. And I think that whether we know it or not, that's probably true for all of us. It's probably true for all of us, not just the ones that were real deep in drugs, alcohol, immorality. I do agree it's worse for them. They have a cord pulling them back into trying to bring the old scenes back that you and I don't have, that weren't into all that stuff. But I believe for all of us, I believe that is the source of death in many people's lives, the fact that they sit there in their churches and they're not active for God. And I'll tell you, they might not have all the old scenes come back, but they die anyhow, and they just sit there and rot away and have no fire for God. Yield your members as instruments unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And I feel that that needs to be very clear in our prayer life. Lord, here are my hands. Take my hands, Lord, and use them for something that is conducive to the building of the kingdom of God. Here are my eyes, Lord. I don't want them to go after lust anymore and to see and to chase after evil things. But I want them to see the things that are good and just and lovely and all of that. And I want them to see your work and to see your kingdom and have a burden for souls. Here's my ears, Lord. I give them to you. I want them to hear the word of the Lord being preached on a regular basis. I don't want to hear the old music that would draw me back. I don't want to hear the cursing tongues and all those things. I want to hear the music for God. That is what it means to yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's the only way I know to do it. But if you do it that way, you're going to come out right. Yes, you will. And I'll tell you, this Christian life is not as difficult as many make it. And I just want to encourage you this morning to look at these 3 points. And if I were you, every one of you children from 8, 10 years old up, I would take a pen and circle those 3 words. Word knowing in verse 6 and verse 9, the first word of the verse. Word reckoning in verse 11. And the word yielding in verse 13 and 19. They are the words that I believe can direct your life into a life of satisfaction in your Christian experience, rather than defeat and failure and depression and uselessness and sin. ultimately back into sin again. The two sides of the cross. Do we see it? Do we see the one side, the side of a death, and there needs to be a feeling of absolute inability to satisfy God? Absolute nothingness. Absolute depravity. That we die to sin. We cannot satisfy God. The demands of God are holy. His Word is holy. He wants perfection, and here we are, and we're unable. That there's a death on that side of the cross that we have to die in our own way, to our own way to satisfy God. But then on the other side, there is a resurrection that if we die with Him, He will bring us up also out of the grave of that death and will give us a resurrection spirit and life too, that will beat in us something that's not from nature, something that's not from flesh. And the spirit that rose Him up is supposed to now dwell in us, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and make us now to walk in newness of life. My friends, that is what you and I need. That's what we need to live by. And that's what we need to focus our eye on throughout our Christian life. Don't lose sight of it. There's a tendency in man to get over the hill of that in his early Christian life. Finally, he finds some things coming up in his life that he's doing and he's not happy about what's going on. You need to keep this in view, I believe, all of your days. May God help us. Where are you at this today? If you have never had the old nature dealt with in your life, this is an answer for you. If you've had it dealt with, but somehow through a backslidden condition today, these old things are vibrant in your life, this message is also for you. You need to render it dead. Reckon it dead. With Christ and alive with Christ by His Spirit. And then take your members individually and yield them unto God. And I believe you will get success in your Christian life and experience. Consider it the word of the Lord. Shall we kneel for prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. O God, this morning we pray that with your Holy Spirit you would search the hearts of men and women, boys and girls that are in this room today. Lord, you know their hearts, I don't. And I pray that you would search my heart, all of our hearts together this morning, and determine, O God, where we stand. Is there yet a member unyielded? Is there yet a nature that is inside, that is constantly and continually pulling after sin, chasing after sin, that has not yet died with Christ, O God? I pray for a death and a resurrection in the lives of all such. And I pray, God, that you would help us to come to grips with the truth of this message and that we would apply it to our very lives and see it have its effect. God, I just pray, you know the needs in this room. You know why you've brought the people that are here today. I pray, O God, apply it to the specific needs that are existing in this very room, O God, and help people to overcome these problems in their lives. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.